Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, listeners. I hope you're doing well today. Welcome back to my podcast. This is where you can do plenty of listening in order to improve your English, because listening is a vital part of the process. You have to listen, 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 listen. The five L's. Listening, 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 listening. You have to do plenty of listening and generally get used to hearing natural English as it is spoken. And my podcast is here to help you to do that. In this episode, Amber and Paul are back on the podcast. In case you don't know, Amber Minogue and Paul Taylor are my friends who've been regular guests on this show for many, many years. They are both stand-up comedians from the UK living in Paris, like me. And a couple of weeks ago, the three of us got together here in my room and we had a conversation for this podcast. We didn't plan the topic in advance, okay? In fact, well, to be fair, I did have a plan, but I just didn't get to the plan. We ended up talking about something more interesting than what I'd planned. So essentially, you're going to hear a lot of spontaneous, natural speaking, a totally natural conversation that moves from one thing to another thing in the most natural way. We're not slowing down or trying to use the easy words. This is just how we speak normally when we are together. And as you will notice, sometimes I try to explain things or clarify things as we go. I try to like stop the conversation sometimes to try and clarify what's going on to help you. But still, it might be difficult depending on your English level. If you like, you can think of this as a kind of listening test. Can you follow what we're saying? And can you keep up with all the changes in the conversation? If you don't understand everything, that's all right. But I encourage you to keep going and keep listening. You'll see that the episode title is Toilets, Titanic and TikTok, which gives you a general idea of what we talk about during the conversation. We didn't have a lot of time, so I just pressed record, and then quite quickly we found ourselves, first of all, talking about toilets. I think that's Paul Taylor's fault. So there's a good 45 minutes of us talking about toilets. And by the way, in British English, the word toilet means both the room and the thing in the room that you sit on. They're both called the toilet. In American English, the toilet is just the thing that you sit on. And the room in American English would probably be called the restroom or the bathroom. Although when we go there, to be fair, we're not having a rest or a bath. But still, the toilet in British English, it's the toilet. You go to the toilet, you sit on the toilet, you stand in front of the toilet. It's the toilet. Or the loo as well is another one. Loo, L-O-O. The loo, that's short for lavatory. So anyway, this is a conversation about toilets, okay? And we talk about what people do in the toilet, on the toilet, near the toilet, even above the toilet in some cases. So be ready for some rather specific and possibly disgusting details about this topic. I don't know how you feel about this subject. Personally, I find it quite fascinating to learn about this very private thing that we don't always talk about, except maybe when we are with close friends like this. For example, any women listening, do you know what happens in men's public toilets? And do you want to know even? I don't know, but do you know what goes on in men's toilets? And men, do you know what goes on in women's public toilets? I think we know what basically happens, right? But what about certain other unknown things? For example, why is there usually a much bigger queue at the women's loo? I'm not judging. I mean, it must be annoying for women. You want to pop to the loo and then there's a huge queue, whereas the men can just come and go as they please, it seems. Why is there always a much bigger queue for the ladies? And do men always stand up when they pee? Or do they sometimes do it sitting down? And which one is actually easier or better? How do other people deal with public toilets, which can be dirty or messy? And in fact, why are they so messy, especially in the toilet cubicles? What are people actually doing in there? And have you ever argued with someone you live with about leaving the toilet seat up? Women often get frustrated with men who leave the toilet seat up. So, toilet seat up, toilet seat down. What's actually going on here? Why is that annoying? And who is right? Is it possible to settle this argument once and for all? So that's just a sample of the kinds of things we're talking about in this episode, okay? So brace yourself, toilet talk is coming with some specific references to hygiene and cleanliness, okay? So that's just a little heads up for you. Some potentially disgusting stuff, okay? Then somehow we go from talking about the toilet to talking about the film Titanic, and I think that will generally be less disgusting and less problematic. Although arguably what happened on the Titanic is much worse than what normally happens in the toilet. But, you know, I don't know your habits. I don't know your life. And then things get a bit more graphic at the end of the conversation as we talk about some weird, disgusting and yet strangely satisfying videos that we like to watch on TikTok and YouTube. Okay, so that's just an overview of the subject. So, you know, some potentially, I don't know, disgusting stuff, but interesting stuff, I think, and entertaining as well. Hopefully you'll learn a few things. Okay, right, that's it for this introduction. So now here is an unedited talk full of tangents about tea, toilets, Titanic, TikTok trends, and more. And here we go. Okay. I think it's time to start. I'll just have to do that tea, the rest of that tea in the.
Well, just what have you got to do with it? Just put the milk in and stir it.
Yeah, I've got to fish out the tea bag.
Yeah, that'll take a minute, won't it?
Yeah, but everything's complicated.
Why is it complicated?
Because I've got a microphone in my hand. We've started.
Oh, have you started?
Okay. Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to edit into the beginning of this.
Why did you already start? Why didn't you wait an extra 30 seconds to do the tea?
Because I just thought, I'll press record on that and then I don't have to worry about it. It's just one less thing to remember.
Yeah.
And what I'm going to have to do now is fish out the tea bag and put it in the bin and then put milk in my
tea. That's right. We can talk. We can.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you.
We'll do the jingle, Amber and Paul.
Shall I do the jingle? So yeah. I'll do the jingle now, but you won't be able to hear it.
We know.
You know, so yeah. It'll be playing. We'll just have to look at each other awkwardly.
Well, you just let us know when the jingle's finished.
Okay, here we go. Hope this is not too loud. Here we are.
Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on another podcast. Paul's a very funny boy. His laugh I very much enjoy. Amber's got a lovely voice. If I could choose an accent, hers will be my choice.
That's the end of the jingle.
Oh, the jingle is over.
Amber, what's the situation?
We're in the Pod Palace.
Is that what we call it now, the Pod Palace?
That's new. I haven't heard that before.
It's a bit of alliteration for you. We're in Chateau Pod with tea. We've got some tea. Tea?
There's three Yorkshire teas. Thompson, Taylor and tea. And is there a tea in your name at all?
No.
Okay.
No teas.
Well, there's going to be a tea inside you, though. Any moment now.
Well, there is. Yeah, exactly.
Easy.
Well, not in that way. I mean, this tea.
This tea.
Anyway, it's not the beginning of a porno. I'm not talking.
You're talking into the mug.
I'm not talking into the microphone. I was about to drink my microphone. I can't multitask. Oh, dear. Hello, I'm already interrupting the episode. I know, I'm sorry, but I just needed to explain that because you just heard us talking and then laughing and you're thinking, what are they laughing about? I want to know, why are they laughing like weirdos? Well, basically what happened is that I was trying to make my tea and I had my tea in my hand and I had my microphone in the other hand and I got confused and I started speaking into my tea and I was going to drink my microphone. That's what happened. Okay. Yeah. Hilarious. All right. Let's carry on.
Welcome to the show, everyone.
Welcome to Luke's English Podcast, everyone. Amber and Paul are with me, as you can see. Here we are in the Pod Palace, which is nice. How are you both? Okay.
Good. Feel like shit.
Feel like shit.
No, I'm just good. I was just
it's a cup of tea will make you feel
cup
better.
Cup of tea.
Nice cup of tea.
Now that you do videos, how what's the ratio of people watching to just people listening?
It depends on each episode, but generally speaking, there are still more listeners.
Okay. Well, hello listeners. If you're not watching this, we will try as much as possible to not make visual jokes.
Exactly. And if something visual does come up, we have to use words to explain it. Not now, Paul. It's all getting a bit sort of fruity, isn't it, in the pod room today?
It's getting spicy.
Now that I've sat down, I can't put my zip up.
You're going to have to explain that Paul just then pretended to undo his trousers.
No, he did undo them.
He actually did.
I didn't undo the trousers. I undid my zip.
The zip came down. But I don't think he was actually going to go all the way, as they say.
No, the unbuckling. The unbuckling should never happen unless you're sitting down and going to the toilet. That's the only time of the day when the unbuckling... Or do you pee unbuckled?
Hold on a minute. What? What's going on?
No, I feel like...
We've lost them.
I feel like when you're a man...
Back. Yes.
Or I guess a woman wearing trousers with a belt.
Okay.
A human wearing trousers with a belt. There we go. I don't want to be gender specific. Yeah. I feel like the only time that you unbuckle and you unbutton your trousers is when you during the day is either when you're taking them off or putting them on, or when you're sitting down going to the toilet.
Well, there are times.
But some men,
yes,
they go to urinals and I don't know why they unbuckle and they undo their button.
Ah.
And they get their todger out and go for a wee. I'm like, why are you unbuckling?
So what you don't understand is the way that some men, when they urinate standing up at the urinal.
Exactly.
Or in front of a toilet.
Yeah.
If they're being accurate.
Or in a tree.
Yeah, whatever. That some guys unbuckle everything. They don't just do the zipper.
Yeah. Now,
I don't have the answer to this question.
Heavy load.
Yeah,
heavy load.
Or big balls.
Heavy load.
Are they taking the balls out as well?
Well, I
no
don't
one's
know.
Doing
no, because
that.
The thing is, if your balls are like constrained, it must have happened at some point where you're wearing a thing like you're going skiing or something, and for some reason the balls are tighter than they should be, and it cuts the flow of the urine.
Oh really? What the urine doesn't go through the balls?
No, I know, but there's a tube in there that is somewhere. I don't know.
Scientific English on Luke's English podcast. I'm not sure about the way this episode has begun.
I know,
but I feel like because we don't have that much time, we've got to just keep going. This is kind of a new rule-ish on my show. Normally, I do that for my rambling episodes, where I just if I've pressed record,
too late.
We have to keep going.
Well, there we go.
So that we just have to keep going now. I mean, we could technically go back and start this again and make it less rude. But we're not going to.
No. We've set the tone. We can only go up.
Exactly.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of room down there.
To go down, you're right. You're right. We could get worse.
So, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, should we carry on talking about that? I think there's a lot of room for conversation.
I feel like going to the toilet is a topic that people don't talk about enough, about how and what's going on.
Yeah.
I feel like people just assume they do the way they do it is the way that it's done. And the thing is, as guys, we are fortunate because we see other guys peeing next to us.
Well, girls often pee together.
But in the same cubicle.
Yeah.
Let him finish his point though first before we go into
carry
the
on.
Well, no, but then that's the same point. But so we get, sometimes you see things and you go, what? That's weird. Like there was a guy I used to work with, in my previous job, where on a break or something, a bunch of us would go to the toilet, and this guy would stand, and I'm going to do the, I said I wouldn't do a visual gag, but I will explain it. I'm standing, and he would undo the belt, which is dangerous because if you undo the belt, right?
Trousers could fall.
Here we go. Paul's undoing his belt.
Look, the risk of the urine falling on the dangly
belt.
Bit of the belt that's in front is a high percentage.
Yeah.
So anyway, this guy would undo his belt, undo his trousers, and go for a pee with both hands behind his back.
What?
Was he a large man?
He wasn't that large,
I mean, either fat or did he have a large...
No, he was just... I don't... You know, some people hold the... It was just a weird... Now I've got to sit with the belt done up. Anyway.
So the original question was why... The original hypothesis was that men...
What are we talking about?
I'm explaining it. The original hypothesis, the original statement, which we are now attempting to prove or disprove, is that men only need to unbuckle the belt and undo the button at the top of the trousers twice a day, once when you put them on and once when you take them off.
Or when you're sitting down to go to the
unless
toilet.
Unless you urinate in an unconventional way.
Or you're going for a poo.
Or you're going for a poo. Yeah, are there any... I think maybe we should start this again.
No, I mean, I'm learning a lot. I'm learning a lot. You know,
How do you do it if you're wearing a onesie like bodysuit?
You're getting naked. You're getting naked
in
the toilet.
But what do you do with the bodysuit?
Depends on the toilet.
Well, let's say it's...
What?
Let's say you're at a friend's house. Let's say you're at your house.
Okay. So, well, there's a jumpsuit. So it's like you've got to like take it off. You're like an all-in-one is what you're talking about. Well, then you just take it off and it sort of pulls around your ankles, doesn't it? And there you are left.
But when you're at home, that's okay because it's clean.
Yes. If it's Paris, like if there's a really filthy toilet, you could go so far as to take it off and hang it up. Rendering yourself essentially nude.
Paul, this is why.
But there's always shoes still on.
Shoes on, yeah.
But don't you have to take the shoes off to take this jumpsuit off?
Depends. It does depend.
So then you've got to take one foot out, take the leg out, then put your shoe back in. So you're naked with shoes on.
It could happen.
This is why there's always a huge queue outside the ladies' loos. Because they're doing this stuff.
Got to get naked, take our shoes
like
off.
It's like Mission Impossible in there. Yeah.
But sometimes it can just, like trousers. You know, your trousers don't necessarily go to the floor.
No, they don't. But so if you've got just a jumpsuit, that was my question. Because if you take off a jumpsuit, then you've got the arms that are flailing all over.
Well, you can just like hold it all up, you know. It depends on the material, depends on the filthiness of the toilet, depends on how fussy you are.
So what actually happens inside of a woman's toilet is the subject here now. We've moved on from when would a man need to unbuckle his trousers during the day, and we've moved on to what actually occurs inside a lady's toilet.
Well, the great debate in the lady's toilet is to hover or not.
Right. How do you... So, wait, explain hover, if you don't mind.
Hover means to not sit fully with your weight on the toilet, but rather to sort of balance above it.
Not so that you don't actually touch the seat.
So no bottom is touching the toilet seat.
Is anything touching the seat at all?
No, nothing.
So it's a urinate... Sitting down without touching the seat.
Yeah.
How do you actually do that then?
Well, you see, I don't hover. I disagree with hovering.
But your height probably depends on your height, right?
My height also does make hovering very difficult. Sometimes I've gone to toilets where my feet don't touch the ground. It has happened.
Oh my God. So
so you're dangling feet while going for it like
absolutely.
A little...
Absolutely.
Like a child.
It's rare, but it has happened.
Okay. So hovering. So obviously a woman might do this hovering so that for hygienic reasons because they don't want to touch the seat because they think it's going to be dirty.
Yeah.
So, don't agree with hovering. You actually disagree with it on...
I disagree with hovering.
Why?
Number of reasons. One, you're more likely to create mess. You're going to... There's a greater chance of splatter. Mm-hmm.
Spillage, whatever you want to call it.
Which could happen on the seat or even onto your good self. Don't want that.
Yeah.
It's not that comfortable. Apparently, it's not as good for your body. And
to be like in your muscles position, all tight like that, holding yourself in the position, it's not a good way.
You're not getting a full release, or not a full bladder release. And I mean, the real thing you need to do is, what I've learned recently, is you need to close the toilet lid when you flush. That's very important.
Yes,
and then wash your hands and you're good. You're going to have a shower, aren't you?
So what do you do if you go to a public toilet that's disgusting?
I mean, of course, if it's absolutely rank, like covered in piss and stuff. Yeah. Sometimes you got to hover. It's always there. Mm. Or hold or find a different one. But normally, like a lady's toilet, they're not that disgusting. Okay. They're fine.
You know, there's like, you can actually take soap from the sink and put it on tissue, put a bit of water and actually kind of clean the seat
before you
sit down. You can actually use the materials that are available to you. If there's hand sanitizer, you could use that on the seat as well. That's going to kill 99.9%
of your
self-respect.
Yeah, exactly.
I do that.
But I feel like now we're in this rabbit hole. We just have to keep going. Okay.
Yeah.
Some of the listeners are disagreeing with us, but we're going there.
I told you I learned Italian and I didn't. I was terrible at it.
Wait, you took Italian lessons?
I took Italian.
You tried to learn Italian?
I tried to learn Italian.
Okay. And you were bad at it.
Went to Italy. We were in like the beginner's class. Like it was very hard to get a conversation. When I first moved to France, I was like, I'm never going
to
learn French.
Move to France, learn Italian. You know the way it goes.
Well, all my friends were Italian and I thought, well, I'm only ever speaking Italian. So I thought, I'll try and learn Italian. Much more fun. I went to Italy and I was like staying there for 3 weeks with this guy who had a chihuahua called Igor, which is very good. And in our language classes, it was terrible because like we all basically couldn't say anything. And the most animated discussion we ever had was about toilets. And we were like, everyone was like, oh, I've got something to say about toilets.
Yeah, me too. So I have taught many, many, many English classes over the years. And I have, this is, you know, many subjects have come up. They just come up naturally and whatever. This subject, the one we're talking about now, what happens in men's toilets, what happens in women's toilets, when you have the right group of people, when there isn't one person who just freaks out because they can't handle it, that is one of the most interesting and most enjoyable conversations that I've had in a language class. I remember one particular class where we all learned something that we didn't know before. Like, for example, what I didn't realise was that there are two types of people in the world.
Yeah.
There's people who wipe sitting down, and there's people who wipe standing up.
No, I'm sorry, what?
Sorry, there's more than that. Sorry.
Standing up?
Because you've got to combine that.
Yeah, you just learned something.
I did.
Yeah, I know. But you've got to combine that with the people that wipe this way from the front and people that wipe
from the back.
So there's actually multiple, because people that can stand up, wipe from the back, or stand up, wipe from the front.
Wipe from the front, sit down, wipe from the back. So there's four, it's a table with four squares in it.
Yeah. Does that mean it's 16 possibilities? No?
No, there's eight, surely. No, four.
Well, no,
stand up, wipe from the back. Sit down, wipe from the front. Sit down, wipe from the back. It's four possibilities. Okay. 16?
I don't know.
Maths, not.
No. Yeah, I know, but you know when they have
those
things,
mean, it's like
there's like, you go, there's like four different possibilities and it's like there's 20,000 possibilities. You're like, what would you mean?
I understood.
There's only four. Okay.
I got it, but no.
No, but I mean, it's fascinating.
It is. Shall I ask if you're
No, I think that's enough. I think we need some mystery. I don't want it's gone too far.
Paul, you have in the past in stand-up, I believe, you talked about the Spider-Man. Now, this is something that allegedly happens in the ladies' loos.
Yeah.
What is the Spider-Man? And Amber, can you help us understand this?
Well, yeah, the joke that I had was about the hovering thing where you're like hovering, but then sometimes your muscles can't, so then you're holding onto the wall at the same time. So it was, in my mind, it looked like Spider-Man.
There's never a way that the feet could come up onto the wall as well so that you're not, you're just completely.
I mean, that's next level shitting, that is.
Yeah.
That's next level.
Yeah, well, sometimes you do go into the toilet and see the pee is splattered everywhere and you think, what happened here? Oh, yeah. Spider-Man. Actually, talking of Spider-Man, how does he go to the toilet? He's there in his onesie.
Well, in his onesie.
And he turns up to the toilet and, what does he do?
Well, he's got to take his mask off first, his head thing.
He's got to take the mask off.
And then
how does he, Is there a gap between his thorax?
No, it's a one.
It's just one piece, isn't it?
Yeah, so I don't know where the zip is, but
just out the bottom.
Just out of the
ankle.
Just down the trouser and out of the ankle.
I don't know.
It was a guy I used to work with who used to get undressed. He was like, I need to get I have to be naked when I.
I've heard about
when
this.
I go to the toilet.
Wait, some people need to be naked when they go to the toilet.
Yeah.
And you worked with one of these
people. I worked with one of these guys. And so we had this similar conversation at dinner one time.
Yes.
And it turned into him explaining how he would go to the toilet. Because we were like, hold on, but what happens if you're on a train or something? He's like, no, naked all the time. We're like, hold on. Logistically, how does this work? What do you do? He goes, well, I take my shoes off, first of all.
Yeah.
And then... And then, like, he would take each individual bit of clothing or fold it up and then put it on top of his shoes.
And he's
so the clothing never touches the floor.
Okay.
And then the very last bit, he would take his socks off, put them on the pile,
and then
put his feet on top of the pile.
But why would he need to be naked to urinate?
I don't know. But not to urinate, to
defecate.
To defecate, yeah.
Have a shit.
To go for a shit. And it was mind blowing. It was an interesting conversation to have over dinner, but it was. I was like, because I'd never met anyone like that, and I was like, but hold on. So, because he said he was doing that at home. I'm like, but what about public? He's like, yeah, I have to do that in public too. And he was explaining one time he was on a train in Spain, on the planes where it rains. And he was describing his whole thing because he didn't want obviously to touch the floor, and so. Yeah, the shoes were the buffer zone from the floor to the rest of the clothes and him.
But there is a point where he's got his feet with socks on are on the floor of the public toilet. Oh, there's a big danger of getting that horrible thing called wet sock.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Oh, that's it's the worst thing ever.
Even if it's just water that's on the floor after you've watered a plant and your own home, and then you get that wet sock, is terrible. But wet sock when it's unknown liquid in a public toilet.
Yeah. Well, it's not unknown liquid, is
well, it? Well, it is, but it's probably going to be urine, you know.
Oh. It's like people who go on aeroplanes and take their shoes off and put like the socks that they provide you sometimes if it's a long flight, you get a little pair of socks.
Only in business.
No, you do get it in.
What's the purpose of those socks?
I think it's because you want to take your socks off and your shoes, and then they give you an extra
fresh
pair of socks. So that when you, it might only be in business, you might be right.
Yeah.
They're not those ones that...
But they're like really bad, like really horrific socks.
Yeah, they're rubber. They're the worst socks.
Yeah.
But they're not those socks that prevent you from dying because you get a blood clot in your leg.
No,
they're not those socks.
The
they're just pathetic token. Here are some sort of socks, you know, like, don't complain about the service. We gave you socks. Mm,
but then some people just still go to the toilet only with their socks on. And going for a pee on an aeroplane.
Yeah.
As a man is difficult.
Mm.
It's happened. Because there's turbulence. The thing is like the toilet is so small, and your head is like under the. So you have to like lean forward, like with your head back, to try and
pee on me.
To try and pee in the thing, because the ceiling is quite low.
Yeah.
And then if there's turbulence, then you could like have to hold on to the edges. So then you've got no control over the todger. And so. It toilet floors are always wet in airplanes because they're also the little sink that they provide. You know, you wash your hands and it drips on the floor, so it's probably a mixture of pee and water.
Why
would you ever walk in there with your? I don't know if anyone does it barefoot.
I don't know. I don't understand what how some people live. I really don't.
No.
But also, don't. Do some men sit down when they urinate? Is another open question.
I do.
Do you?
90%. I only stand up.
We've had this conversation before. I already knew. I knew you sat down.
That's funny. I didn't
realize. Good friends. Good friends.
That's how you know.
It's a detail that stayed with me. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I approve.
And when you learned that, what did you think?
I approve.
For what reasons?
For the very good reason that you never have seat up in your house. And you never accidentally, in the night, sit down and there's no toilets below you and you're just falling in.
Here's an interesting dilemma.
Mm.
You know the way women are usually annoyed at men that we leave the seat up?
Yes.
Why is it not annoying for us that we always have to lift it up and it's not always already up?
Let's start this with, what's the grievance about leaving the seat up? What's the issue with that?
Okay, it's twofold. So,
love this.
So, well, one, it is very there's multiple reasons actually. So, one, it's very unfortunate if you don't notice you sit down. You're sitting on a rim, unexpected rim.
If you don't notice,
right,
and you just end up sitting on the rim of the toilet. For example, at night when you're like, oh, I've got to go to the loo.
Absolutely.
Bang! Oh,
it's cold and it's horrible.
Cold and it's slippery. You might slip into the toilet.
Also, even though you've lifted up, it can still be a little unpleasant there. Mm-hmm. You know, there still might have been accidents.
Even though you've lifted it up,
there might still be
spilled a little bit on the edge or something like that.
Yeah, and you see, and now we've got to take the toilet in our hands.
Right. So the first thing is that you don't want to sit on
a dirty rim,
which could be slippery, cold, or dirty. The second thing is you don't want to have to touch the seat.
And the third thing is you should have. Ideally, shut the whole lid.
Yeah, that's true.
The whole lid should be shut because otherwise you're just infusing your whole, as Sarah calls it, the toilet room with a sort of a vaporized fecal matter.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Basically, the conclusion is the top
everything
lid
should
has
be shut.
To come down when the toilet is flushed.
Correct.
Because if you leave that up when you flush the toilet, bits of stuff do come out. You might not notice it, but stuff does. Keep the lid down. Yeah. Both lids, everyone, okay?
And you know what they've done in France? Instead of doing that, they've just built a separate room. That's why they have separate toilets here, because the people can't be bothered.
What separate toilets?
Well, because, you know, in England, all the toilets are in the bathroom.
In the bathroom.
There's no separate room to the toilets.
Yeah.
So we close the lid, because otherwise the shit water vapour will end up on your toothbrush and then you're brushing your teeth with fecal shit.
This is why British people have bad teeth.
Exactly. Whereas the French have gone... We could close the lid, or we could build a whole other room just for the toilet, so then we don't need to close the lid.
Just to contain it all in one single space.
But I like it being in a separate room.
Oh, I do as well. It was
it's much more practical.
Yeah, it's
but
true.
To the second point...
But someone can be in the bathroom and another person in the toilet.
Because I don't think people think... I think most couples... argue about the seat up, seat down, because
you need the seat down. Hold on, just one finish.
Yeah,
you need it down as well.
I don't need it down. I've just chosen.
No, not you. As when you're peeing, like some of the time you need it down too. So for the lady, she needs it down 100% of the time, and for the man, some of the time. So you know.
So that means 75% of the time the seat should be down.
Yeah, and so
I don't know if it's 75%, but you know what I mean.
Speaking
roughly, I don't know how often you do a poo, but your poo to pee ratio, it depends.
How are the toilet politics in your house? Do you put down?
But the thing is, it's like when your other half, who's a lady, goes to the toilet, why doesn't she feel the need to lift it up? So that we show up, we don't have to lift it up.
This is a response to point two, Amber's second point, which is that she doesn't want to touch the seat, which is a reasonable thing because the seat could be dirty. You don't want to have to touch it all the time. But we have to deal with point two as well. We don't have to deal with points one and three, so you win the argument. But we do. Well, let's not ignore the fact that we do have to deal with point two as well, which is that we also have to... So you're fine with us touching the seat, basically.
I think the compromise should be that when we go to the toilet, we pull the seat down to leave it for the ladies. And when the ladies go to the toilet, they lift the seat up to leave it for us to go for a pee.
Here is the thing. Here's the solution. The neutral position, which also deals with point three, which is that you don't want the stuff coming out of the toilet at all, even if it's tiny little microbes or whatever. There is a neutral position for the toilet, and that is seat down, lid on.
Yeah.
And that is the ending neutral point. Unfortunately, we all have to touch the seat, but we can wash our hands. It's okay. So the seat goes down, the lid goes on top, and that is the way the toilet should be when you enter and when you leave the toilet. That's the end of it, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Okay, well done. Well done.
I'm glad we settled that.
There you go. We've sorted that one out, everybody. Listeners, we have sorted out the toilet situation.
Put the lid down.
Unless we've missed something. I don't know if we've missed
something.
I don't
think so.
No.
I guess, when Sarah Donnelly was here on this show, the very first thing we talked about in the episode was that toilet in the corridor.
Is it a Turkish toilet, as they call it in France?
Yeah, that's exactly it. She said, I see you have a Turkish toilet. And I was like, what, you call it a Turkish toilet? Does anyone else call it a Turkish toilet?
No, it's just the French. I don't think the Americans call it a Turkish. I think she's just
America.
No, those sorts of toilets that wouldn't be possible in America.
No, they didn't exist before the country existed.
I think in England we call them French campsite toilets, don't we? Or they're the toilets that English people notice at French campsites, or they did in the 70s and the 80s anyway.
Yeah.
So
it's one of those things that is... It changes nationality depending on where you are. It's like the telephone game, you know, that we call Chinese whispers, which the French call the Arabic telephone. I'm sure it's one of those, you know, racist undertone things. That's why French call it the les toilettes turques, because a French person went to Turkey one time in the past and was like, oh, we've got these. So we must have taken them from the Turks. But in Turkey, I can't remember. They're not called... Turkish toilets in Turkey, they're called something else. It's like Pepe Le Pew, the cartoon character. He's French for us, but for French people, he's Italian.
He's Italian, yeah. He's French for everyone.
He's French for everyone.
Hold on, we've lost them again. So that has to be dealt with. Here we go. Let's dissect the frog there. So Paul is mentioning the fact that in different countries, certain things that we all have will be given different names. And often there are some things that have the name of a nationality. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, we say doing a French exit, which is where you leave a party without saying goodbye. But in France, they call it doing an English exit, leaving the party before saying goodbye. So we both see the other one as the baddie. And Turkish toilet is what they call it in France. In Turkey, do they call it a French toilet? I don't think so.
No.
They just call it a toilet, I suppose.
No, they call it something. I think they have it linked to a nationality. One of my best friends is Turkish, and I can't remember. She told me what it was, and I've forgotten.
But then you mentioned Pepe Le Pew, who is a
character,
Hanna-Barbera cartoon character.
Is it not Warner Brothers?
Warner Brothers. Yes, it is a Warner Brothers cartoon character. He is a that's all, folks.
I think
Warner Brothers. It is.
It is.
And he's a skunk, which is a black four-legged animal,
black and white,
black with a white stripe down its back.
And they put and they stink
and they smell. So. And in the cartoon, oh God, I'm fucking exhausted. In the cartoon,
I'll make a cup of tea while you explain this.
The skunk called Pepe Le Pew sees a black cat. She walks through a building site and she gets paint spilled on her back. He thinks that she's a female skunk, so he chases her around and harasses her.
Yeah.
It's pretty problematic, but he's following her around and ma chérie, blah blah blah, and he's French. So he's a stereotype of a man who would follow a woman in the street harassing her. She's trying to escape.
And
so,
importantly, smell.
And he smells as well because he's a skunk.
Well, because he's French.
Because apparently the French smell, but I don't know if this is not true.
No.
No. Depends. On the metro.
Depends on the metro sometimes.
They have bad breath because they drink coffee a lot and they smoke a lot. But the rest of the boat is...
Yeah, they shower regularly. Yeah. Everything's... It's not true. The myth. The garlic smell? Not true.
Not true.
Anyway, so basically he's a French stereotype, this skunk character, because he has these traits. And so the rest of the world, he's French and he speaks with a French accent and stuff. But in France, he is Italian.
Yeah.
Right? The only country that is more French than the French, apparently. Hmm?
Yeah, apparently.
Okay. God. So,
how did we get here?
How did this happen? And are they still actually alive, or have we just got skeletons with headphones on?
Come on, everyone's interested in toilets.
Yeah. Are we going to carry on, though, and talk more about toilets? Or should we sort of, like, let that one go and...
Segue into something else.
I mean, let's just all wash our hands, put the seat down, and leave and
on.
Close the
and
door.
Use the Dyson hand dryer that blows your face.
Yeah. Where do you stand on washing and drying your hands? Do you always use the electric hand dryer? Do you prefer paper towels? Or do you just not dry your hands at all? Shake and wave? What's your preference?
It depends. Sometimes, if the Dyson thingy's there, I'll
use... When you say the Dyson... You mean the Dyson hand dryer that you drop your hand? It's made by the Dyson company, and it blasts and it sends out a blast of air, which sort of pushes all the moisture off your hands, and you only do that, and then wow, they're dry.
Yeah,
that's what you mean.
In theory, yeah. In theory, you do a 10-second, but that's probably the best one there is, because sometimes the ones you have to push a button. Sometimes it's just like,
it's pathetic.
Isn't it? And you don't really get dry hands, so I just end up not drying them. If it's paper towels, I'll probably do paper towels.
Okay.
I watched a terrifying TikTok where someone put a petri dish
underneath
into all the different ones,
hand dryers. Yeah.
And then simulated just sort of, you know, when you just shake your hands and then they're going to dry on their own, and then sort of let it grow. Oh, it was disgusting.
Wait.
What do you mean?
Run the experiment by us again.
So, he took these little petri dishes.
A petri dish is?
It's like a little sort of glass dish, and inside it's got this sort of jelly in it, which encourages bacteria to grow. It like traps microscopic bacteria, and then it can
grow. And it can grow, and you can observe it and test it and all the rest of it.
Look under a microscope. So he took these little dishes, and he took them to various different hand dryers, like in a shop, in a cafe, in a, you know, different sort of places, and there was different types of hand dryers. And then he did a sort of control, and then just one where he sort of, you know, just waved it around like he was...
Oh, he just... What? He waved it around in the air?
Just in the air like that.
Just
like in the bathroom, but just like waving it around as if you were doing like this, as if you were shaking your hands.
I see.
Not using a hand dryer.
Right.
Ah, okay.
So just sort of like...
So what was the best then, using a hand dryer?
And then he compared the different Petri dishes to see what the bacterial growth was like. And can you tell us the results?
Well, all of the hand dryers, there's quite a lot of growth.
So there's more growth... from the hand dryer Petri dishes than just from shaking your hands in the air,
which is handy because most times there's not a hand dryer anyway.
So then that's not a surprise really, because of course the hand dryer is going to pick up bits of bacteria because you touch it after you've you know, whatever, you just touch it, but waving it in the air, then no. So interesting. Do you ever, how do you deal with that, touching things in public spaces like the door of the toilet or whatever, when you don't want to touch, you don't care, you're just touching.
Yeah, I'm pretty.
I can't be bothered with that. Oh, I've got a friend who's always getting a little piece of paper and it's a door handle, love. Just come on.
Yeah.
Just wash your hands. Don't just like put your hands on your feet. Like, your hands are dirty all the time. Like, people think like door handles in toilets are more dirty. They're not. The metro's dirty. Your phone's dirty. Spaces are dirty. Wash your hands. Not got any time for all that.
And even wash your hands. I'm kind of the same, you know, and I think those little experiments that you see on TikTok or videos, you know, where they get the blue light and they put the light over the thing and you see like all the, it's like, yeah, everything's dirty, but most of that isn't harmful bacteria. Yes. Like, it's not gonna, and your immune system is made on purpose so that you don't feel the effects of that. But I think some people watching those videos become really paranoid and they're like, oh, I want to make sure. And it like, before the pandemic, I used to fly a lot to the US with my old job. And I would like...
Is that your old job? Where was it that you worked?
Did I mention that I worked at Apple?
Apple, that's right. Yeah. Of course. Yeah, just in case you hadn't said that for the last 30 minutes.
And I would be like really surprised at the amount of people using hand sanitizer. They all had their little bottle
pre-pandemic,
way before the pandemic. Yeah, like their little bottle, and everyone would be hand sanitizing everything. Or there must have been a campaign on US TV or something that made everyone like, we need to use this hand sanitizer.
The hand sanitizer companies pushed a big advertising campaign where probably in American TV, it's kind of like, is this public information about health or is this just a commercial for a company?
Yeah.
And it's sort of both, isn't it?
Yeah, and so I like, that would be really surprising for me because obviously I wash my hands, but apart from that, I don't ever use hand sanitizer. And then there was a whole like counter thing about that where it strips the natural oils and things of your skin. Anyway, I'm on the same side as you. It's like, yeah. I'm not, most of the stuff I'm not really bothered. It only really affects me if I, there'll be certain times, and I don't have an example where I do something with my hand. I'm like, oh God, I really need to wash my hands like now. But in the metro, like I'll hold the bars, no problems. Mm-hmm. Like I won't like open the door with my elbow.
I do a bit of that sometimes. Depends how I feel. If it's a particularly greasy metro car, then I'll be like, nah, I think I'll just elbow this one. But isn't there a thing also that if you over-sanitize, if you overuse those hand sanitizers, that can actually lead to more aggressive forms of bacteria developing? Isn't that right? Because if you kill 99.9% of the bacteria, there's still 0.1% who's like, I survived. And then that 0.01% bacteria who survived the sanitization process multiplies. So then you've just got 100% hardcore bacteria.
But no one lives in a sanitized environment. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's just psychological. Like, you're fooling yourself that you're sanitizing in any real sense of the word. I mean, the best thing you can do is just, wash your hands before all those sort of important things. But, you know, living in Paris anyway. Also, I mean, like, we've all got young children. Oh, the filthy things we've seen them do.
Oh,
and they haven't gotten sick from it.
Oh, so you're disgusting. Just like,
the way they will drop something on the floor and they'll pick it up and put it in their mouth.
Immediately eat it.
And they're just like sticking their fingers here and then putting their fingers in their mouths. Mm. And they're just, but this is all actually quite healthy to an extent because your immune system does have to build up a resistance
to all
these things.
I don't know, because like I always have the argument with my wife because she gets sick like that everywhere, like her whole body just doesn't work.
Well, don't do that, just stop doing that when she's in the room. Stop clicking your fingers.
And I think it's because she's overly clean. She's super clean all the time. And when she sees Louise like doing things that aren't, you know, that she wouldn't accept as an adult, I'm like, well, maybe leave her. Like, maybe her immune system will be better than yours because you're always sick all the time. Always. And I'm just like, well, maybe let her, you know, do stuff. I mean, she does disgusting stuff like all kids do. But sometimes you're just like, well, whatever, leave it. It's not a big deal.
Isn't this related to the microbiome? Do you know about this, Amber?
No.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, it's the kind of a thing where they say that the microbes that you have, particularly in your gut, but also maybe just, you know, that you carry, that you have to have a diverse microbiome because this contributes to a very healthy immune system. Yeah. And so this is why, for example, we need to eat, you know, food that contains good bacteria. You know, we drank kombucha at lunchtime. That's full of this good active bacteria. And certain types of yogurt, Yakult, you know, those little Japanese yogurts that you can get in the supermarket. They taste kind of disgusting, but apparently they're very good for you because they fill your gut with good bacteria. So there's good and bad bacteria. And, you know, it's important to not only get rid of the bad bacteria, but also keep the good bacteria. So when we over sanitize, we also get rid of a lot of the good bacteria too, which can I guess lead us to having a slightly weaker immune system. I don't know. This is not
welcome
real science.
Welcome to
this
Luke's Science Podcast.
Luke's Science Podcast, where non-scientists talk about scientific issues with
absolutely no idea or vocabulary,
no authority at all on the subject. This is like the Joe Rogan Experience, but with a certain level of responsibility, where we say, you know what, we don't know what we're talking about. Okay,
we have no idea.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. Good. So. You know what? I did actually have a plan for this.
Go on in.
But because I asked you, how are you, at the beginning, like last time I said, I'm not going to ask how you are because...
This all started from a stupid joke.
Then we're going to end up talking about going to the toilet for 45 minutes.
This all started from a stupid joke where I was like, oh, hey, listeners, I won't try and make too many visual jokes. And then I went to unbutton my trousers. And then 45 minutes later, we're talking about microbiomes.
But, you know, this is, you know, guys, this is real English, isn't it, though? This is real English as it happens. Because in normal conversations, you know, one thing, you know, leads on to another topic and then you end up going down this tangent. It's rare that you just sit and talk about one single thing the entire time, unless you're in a business meeting, and you know,
and
even then it's hard to maintain stick to the agenda.
Exactly. In my old job,
where was that?
The business meetings we used to have that digress.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Best. Yes. Anyway, what was your plan?
So my plan was to do... Do you remember what we did last time?
I mean,
I don't think it's... I don't think we can start it now because I was hoping...
Maybe we can do
a bit.
Two.
Okay, we'll do a bit.
Go on, let's do a few.
All right, okay. Do you remember what it was last time?
Yeah.
What was it?
There was prepositions.
Yeah, I don't know what they are.
I can't remember.
I mean, I probably made it sound a lot more complicated than it was. So, yeah, Paul is looking at
the
back of my mobile phone on the phone case. It's covered in little stickers that my daughter stuck all over my phone.
Did she?
Yeah, it wasn't me. Oh, I like the donkey. I stick that on my phone. Oh, and I can just
having kids is a great excuse to just do that on your own and be like, oh, it was my kids.
Yeah. It was like, oh, I quite like those little... my daughter's gone to bed and I'm like, oh, I think I'll do a little design on the back of my phone with some little bit orange hearts. No, she did it, honestly. Adjective plus prepositions. So that, you know, do you remember that?
Yes.
So, all right. So basically, I'm not going to go into all the details, the meta language. It will be too boring. So I'll say a word.
People have already stopped listening now.
They're skeletons
with headphones. We're not talking about toilets.
Yeah.
They'll be like, all right, see you later, next episode.
I'll say a word. They're all adjectives. I want you to tell me what word probably comes after it, and that'll be a preposition, Right? So, and then I'll ask you a little discussion question. What? What?
Wait, no, we're waiting for it. We're baited breath. Go.
Oh, God. Okay, so eligible.
Four.
Well done. Are you eligible for... This is a stupid question because... anyway. Are you eligible for citizenship in France? Are you eligible for French citizenship? How about any other countries? So I think I know the answer. You're both going to say, "Bah, we already are French."
I think you're already French, aren't you?
You're not French.
I'm not French.
He's Irish.
Eligible.
Are you eligible for French citizenship?
I presume so. Yeah.
Do you know what the criteria?
I think you have to have lived here for 5 years,
married to a French person.
Well, you don't have to be. If you're unmarried, then you just have to be here for 5 years.
Okay.
And
speak French
and prove that you've been living here with tax, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I think if you're married, it's 3 years maybe, or two. I think it's a little bit less, but you still need to have lived there for a bit.
But Amber, you are fully French now. You speak the language of love.
Yes. Luke, are just you speak. French? Are you French?
No.
You're eligible, though.
I'm eligible, yeah.
You should.
I just can't complete the application form.
How
it's too
are you
complicated.
Here then, still?
I've got a carte de séjour.
And is that just ten renewable?
10 year. I've got a 10 year.
Did you get that before Brexit?
Permit. I got one before Brexit. This is fascinating stuff, listeners. If you thought that talking about the toilet was not your cup of tea, then the administrative process of applying for French citizenship is that's more your. What do you think, is it? I hope so. Before Brexit, I applied for a carte de séjour, which is basically a kind of a residency permit. But then after Brexit, I had to reapply for the same card, but they've renamed it. They've renamed it the Article 50 carte de séjour, which is basically just another carte de séjour, but it's post-Brexit.
So you got that post-Brexit?
Yes.
And they said yes.
So I got the original one pre-Brexit, and then I had to update it post-Brexit.
Okay, but the ending date is the same as the original.
I think the ending date's longer, but I've got a residency permit.
Okay, so you got that even with Brexit happening?
I got it pre-Brexit.
No, I know,
and
but...
And then they updated it.
Okay, right.
So, yeah.
So what happens in 9 years or whenever the date is up?
No, I think some guys in, like a SWAT team will come round to my apartment, and they'll arrest me, kidnap me, and
so you've got 9 years to figure out how to fill out a French form.
Yeah,
I think you. Well, it's cutting it tight, but
I'm not proud of myself. My inability to do French admin.
It's very difficult.
Anyway, see, I knew that was a bad question to ask. I should have just got rid of that one. But anyway, eligible for, right? To meet the eligibility criteria. English.
Yes.
Yes. Next one. Enthusiastic.
Enthusiastic.
About?
About, yes. Yeah. Enthusiastic about.
Can you be enthusiastic for?
No.
No.
Enthusiastic about. Eager.
For.
Eager to do something.
Eager to.
Or eager for something. So here's the question.
I'm eager for a cup of tea. Can you say that? No, I'm eager. Well,
no, you wouldn't be eager for it. I'd love a cup of tea.
All right.
But
what would you be eager for?
I'm eager to see your new show.
Okay.
For example,
yeah.
Especially the first 30 minutes that I missed before, where I understand you actually...
What were you doing for the first 30 minutes?
I was eating sushi with Sebastian Marx.
Oh.
And it's just...
In the
sushi more important than you.
No, we wanted to come. It's just that you know...
They needed sushi.
Yeah.
I'm a linear person. I can only do one thing and then another thing.
We didn't
And then
eat.
Another thing.
Paul
yeah,
didn't
I didn't
eat. He had a whole
yeah,
show.
Yeah, well, I did buy you some food.
Well, we wanted to see the show. We ate afterwards. That
well
makes
done.
Us better.
You're just better people. You're just better than me, aren't you? Well done. Clap, clap, clap.
And so what would you be eager for?
Eager sounds like written language, though, to me.
Yeah, it does a bit, doesn't it?
It's the kind of thing you write on,
well,
like,
I did
job
write
applications.
It. I did that. It is written language. I wrote it.
You did.
Here.
Oh.
So, eager for... Eager for, shall I Google it? And then I have to lean over.
Well, because you said for, and he said yes. I'm trying to think of a phrase.
Eager for something. Eager for a, I'm eager for an opportunity to pitch my new business idea to the Dragons in Dragon's Den.
Okay.
Dragon's Den is a TV show about business investors. They're not actually dragons. They're business people. I did two episodes about it.
Mm.
You can
go
back and listen to that, listeners.
Recently...
No, ages ago. All right. Are you eager for a new challenge this year?
You you were thinking about? It's like half an hour I'm asking. Do you have an example? And he had one in
got
your...
Got one there. I have a new challenge for this year.
Go on, what is it?
I want to see all of the museums that I've not been to.
Wait, there are still museums you haven't seen?
A lot.
Just in Paris?
Just in Paris.
How many museums are there in Paris?
There are so many. And I was like, okay, this year, 2023, I'm going to see them all.
Are there 100? Or more?
There are more that, like, I'm considering museums and monuments. There's more than 100 in total.
Yeah, but museums,
are there more than 100 that I've not seen? No, I think there are less. But there's still a sizable amount.
Yeah.
There's a sizable amount. Anyway, I'm going to see them all.
Great. You're still doing your tours?
Yeah.
Tours with Amber, everyone. If you come into Paris.
Tours, yeah.
Go and look up Amber. You get the best accent in the city and the best information in the city.
I mean, that is why I was getting so excited about my Marta podcast last night. I was like, oh, this is going to be so good when I go around the Saint-Chapelle.
Yeah.
Oh, it started raining.
I've just opened the window.
So I'm on my fucking bike.
So I've opened the window because I feel it's a little bit warm. And also I've got flushed cheeks, which does happen.
And also the window's got condensation. We can do the Jack and Rose thing off of Titanic, you know, where they're making love in the car.
And then goes up on the window like that. It's
you've seen Titanic, right?
I've not seen Titanic.
Fuck off.
I've not seen
You've not seen Titanic?
No.
Amber.
I know.
What do you mean you haven't seen Titanic?
I just didn't get round to it.
What do you mean you didn't?
I don't know.
Luke, you've seen it, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I know. It's one of those things that I'm like, how come I've still not seen and now I don't know where to see it. Where is it? Is it on Netflix?
It's at the bottom of the sea. Spoiler alert.
What?
Ruined it. Amber.
I know. We need to watch Titanic.
I mean,
we're going to have a Titanic watching party then.
To be honest, the best bit in the film for me
is what I just described.
Well, there's the bit with the hand on the window, but there's also the bit when the boat splits.
Sinks.
And the boat sinks. That's clearly
that's
the best bit.
Yeah,
but there's a bit where the back end of the boat is going up like that, and one bloke falls off.
And he hits
a barrier as he goes down, and it's like his body's falling and he hits a barrier, boom, and spins off like that. It's computer generated images. But the thing that bothers me about the way that he falls, he just falls like this, like he's skydiving. Like if you fall off the top of a ship that's sinking into the ocean, your legs will flail. Like
would they?
Without, yeah, they would. When you're falling, your legs naturally flail because you're trying to, you know, because it's so weird to fall. But he just falls like this.
Well,
like
maybe he's
just
in shock.
La, la, la. And then he whacks his head off a barrier and spins into the water. That's the best bit of the film.
I heard an interview with this guy who survived the Titanic.
Yes.
He was like at the bit, you know, it was like sinking into the sea and then he sort of just jumped in and he was describing, because the water was so cold, just these sort of frozen sort of cubes of ice and there were bodies and just
inside
like
them.
Inside them. Yeah, terrible. But he survived and he carried on working on ships.
I think I might have seen that interview. There's some on YouTube.
Listen to it on Criminal, you know that podcast?
No, I don't.
Phoebe Judge, such a good podcast.
Oh, really?
What else is there apart from Netflix and Prime? This Canal Plus.
I don't know. I don't know. See, if it's not on Netflix, I can't watch it.
Disney.
I feel like I've seen
Apple
it. There
TV.
Are so many iconic
Apple,
moments which I have seen. Apple TV.
Sorry.
I have seen lots of sort of iconic moments, but I've never seen it. And I just kept thinking, I'm going to definitely watch
Amber.
It. Never seen it.
Titanic movie.
You'll have to come round. We'll have to watch it.
You can rent it off of all of them, but you can't watch it for free anyway.
See?
It's long. It's pretty long.
It is 3 hours long. But that was one of those like your mum jokes. Your mum's so fat that when she walked in front of the TV, we missed the Titanic. Listeners, there's a. I think you must have talked about your mum jokes.
Mum is so fat. No, I've never told those.
You've never.
Jokes.
Okay,
no,
there's
no.
A series of jokes in the UK and the US, which is your mum is so fat. And
how
then,
fat is she?
Yeah, and then you create a scenario afterwards. And one of them was when she walked in front of the TV, we missed the Titanic.
The entire film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just got
there's,
that.
There's a whole series of jokes.
Because she was walking for 3 hours because she was
three
so fat. She's
right. So I mentioned the steaminess of the room.
I just because got it because it was big. I was like, but the TV's the same size.
It's going to take 3 hours to walk past the TV.
3 hours to walk past. I got it.
I just got it. Okay. I hope they did as well.
It's like the Russian joke.
I get like a... Don't. Just don't. I get flushed I get red cheeks, right, sometimes if I get a little bit sort of warm.
It also doesn't help.
No, you don't care about that. I'm like desperate to talk about my fucking cheeks. And you're like, anyway, the Titanic.
No, but it depends on the lights that you're using. It's what, because you've got a purple blue light and this light, that's why the colours on your face look a bit more red.
The reason I mention it is because I did get a comment the other day. It was like, are you okay? Your cheeks are very red. I'm worried about you. And I was like, no, it's all right. I just can't get the video settings right. And he's like, oh, thank goodness for that. I thought you had a rash or something.
Okay. Well, but why don't you turn the saturation down?
Yeah.
Yeah, but if I turn the saturation down, then
we're all in black and white.
Then there's this. We don't want this, do we?
No, we don't want that.
It's all black and white now. It's like a sad French film.
Just a French film.
Yeah, film.
Yeah.
Maybe there we go.
Yeah.
Okay. It's because you're using a webcam.
Yeah, I know.
That's all right.
Well, because I'm using a webcam.
Right, I know.
That's why I don't have a serious skin disease. I don't have angina or whatever. I'm just using a webcam and I'm English.
Oh, that rain.
Oh, horrible.
Okay, all right. Ooh, 56
Has
minutes.
Has this been as long as the Titanic now?
No, it hasn't.
You need to watch it. Well, the thing is, there's no point in you watching it anymore because it's... No, but you know what I mean? It's like those things where when you move to a new country, we've all experienced this, French people say to you,
you've got to watch this.
Got to watch this film.
Yeah.
And the film came out 35 years ago. And it was when it came out 35 years ago, everyone was 12 years old. Mm. Everyone remembers watching the film at 12. And they watched it again when they were 15 and then 18. And it became like a cult film. Mm. Yeah. But then you at 35 or 40 years old, you watch it for the first time. You're like, this isn't great.
Yeah.
And then you're ruining like the memory that everyone has had of the film. So everyone, if you're watching Titanic for the first time now, if you're the age that we all were when we watched it, then fine. But if you're, too late.
The reason people like it is because of the nostalgia value, right?
Yeah. So it's now
the
it is,
90s
yeah.
nostalgia trip, basically. But I mean, the way that they filmed and created the boat sinking is pretty impressive.
Yeah. James Cameron.
The thing is, it's like
Jimbo Cameron.
I somehow missed it, and then everyone had seen it.
Yeah.
There was just no more opportunity. It was like, no, we've all seen it.
It's on TV. Yeah, I feel like
you missed the boat.
Yay!
That's an expression, listeners. Okay, that is an expression in English. No, I'm just. It's the webcam. I'm not on fire. It's just the webcam. And I'm English as well. You know, in some countries, their cheeks don't go red. So if they see, you know, sometimes I think, you know,
in some countries,
well, I imagine in Mozambique.
Do you mean like some skin tones?
Right, fine, whatever the. Whatever.
I think whatever country you went to, you would look red of cheek. You could just be like, I've travelled the world.
Yeah,
my
but in Scotland, they'd be like, yeah, he's got red cheeks. He's, you know,
they've got permanent red cheeks in Scotland.
But if you go to some places, then there might be some people who are like, are you okay? You know, really.
Okay.
Like,
you mean certain places? What you mean to say is a certain white people that don't get red.
I don't know if it's certain. I don't know what if it's white people or what. It's just that there are just I don't know certain complexions, regardless of whatever. I don't know, but just some places they don't seem to like having red cheeks is maybe not something that people see all the time. And so that's kind of a weird thing.
Well, in France, it's... Well, in Brittany.
I say that, like, when I lived in Japan, which is, you know, there you go, bonus points, listeners, I said it again.
Your Japan is my Apple, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, did you know I used to live in Japan and he used to work for Apple? And Amber is a tour guide. She reads lots of books and visits museums, but not all of them. So when I lived in Japan, every now and then I'd notice, like, Japanese people would just pick up on things that I thought were completely natural, but for them were strange, right? So, like, for example, I'd be on the train and I'd just be sitting there on the train and I'd look over and there's like an old couple sitting opposite me. They just got on. I just noticed them. And the old man is just staring at my hands like that, right? And this is not just, it's not just me. This is like a thing. You get stared at and stuff. Mm-hmm. And people don't realize they're doing it. Just like staring at my hands and then just sort of like moving up to my face and then back to my hands again. And I'm just like, what? Have you not seen hands like this before? What is it about my hands? And teaching kids classes in Japan, the kids would all climb on me and grab my nose. They'd all be grabbing my nose like that. You know, children in other places don't do that. They don't do that in other places.
No.
But in Japan, they would all come and grab my nose because obviously I had a funny nose, because I mean, maybe I just have a funny nose, but also.
But so I was looking at your hands.
Why were they looking at your hands? Do you never got
exactly? Because I think that, you know, I don't know. They just probably thought he's got long hands,
flipping or the bird.
Big hands. I wasn't like sitting there with my you know, insulting the guy with my fingers. I was just sitting there, and I'd often notice people just sort of staring at me like that without even realising they were doing it. Not just paranoid, but it's just because for a lot of people, you know, who don't see people from other places, it's kind of a bit strange for them.
But what's interesting is that we now have, I mean, now, I wonder whether that's still a case, because
less so,
we've
sure.
got, with social media, with all of the, like, the internationalisation, I can't speak.
Globalisation.
Yeah. Let's just do that. Of, like, TV and film of, you know, like, we know, you know, with Squid Game, it's like, oh, it's a Korean show.
Yeah,
it's
so
like,
we've all
cool.
seen Korean people, like, a lot more in the last 10 years. But, say, 30 years ago, that was not the case.
Yeah.
And, you know, this guy, and I remember it, the guy staring at my hands was an older man.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's not the sort of guy who's on YouTube looking at videos of
but I feel like
people,
back then,
English people's hands, which are, someone's got to set up a channel. Maybe I should set up a YouTube channel of just, like, hand videos just for that.
Probably
just for that. One guy who, to be fair, may not be still alive. Although the Japanese do live a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Famously.
Yeah. Sorry, you were saying...
It's because they sit down when they shit.
Yeah, they squat down. It's the healthier position.
Yeah, they've got the squat. I don't know what I was saying.
Yeah, neither do I.
No, I was saying, but back then...
Yeah.
Even back then, like, most of, you know, a lot of films that were global were American films with white people in them. So it's not like... Because I know what you mean. We went... 4-5 years ago, and there was still you know, you could definitely tell when you went into certain places that were a bit more secluded, that people would look at you like, because they've never seen a white person before.
Yeah,
but I had never seen a Japanese person. But I know what you mean. It was just like I don't know when the first Japanese person I ever saw in real life was. It was probably when I was 12 or 13 or something. Maybe even later. But when I saw them, I wasn't like, I've never seen your like before. I've seen them on TV. Like, it didn't, it wasn't.
So I'll go back to my original statement. There are some people in some places who, when they see other people from other places, are fascinated because they, or not fascinated, or they're just sort of like, I don't know. I would
probably get that if I met an NBA
an
player.
Alien. If you met an alien from Mars or Jupiter
of
or
course,
one of the other planets, then maybe. But
human race, I reckon an NBA basketball player.
Really tall.
Yeah, because the thing is, because when you watch the NBA or you watch basketball on
TV...
They're
quite small, aren't they, because they're on TV.
Well, they're all the same height.
Yeah.
So you don't see the difference. That's the thing. You don't see the difference of how they look.
Except when there's one little guy, because sometimes in like some NBA teams, there's like a normal-sized guy who's just really good.
Yeah, I think he was Japanese or Chinese.
Yeah, there's a few of those players. But yeah, so basically, when you see them in a game, relative to each other, they're all pretty much the same size. Yeah. They look normal. But if you met an NBA star in real life,
I would
love
to.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
I think they'd probably stare at their hands for a while. Yeah,
so big.
Yes. Do you have anything to add to this, Amber?
I don't think so. Although I was kind of keen to know if you had made any plans akin to the museum that you're eager for.
Eager for new challenges.
Oh, like New Year's resolution type thing.
Or New Year's resolution, or like a challenge that you set yourself maybe for 2023.
So the full question actually was, are you eager for a new challenge this year, or are you happy with the current level of challenge which you already have in your life? I'm happy with the current level of challenge I have. So no challenges, no resolutions.
I'm done.
No, the resolution is the same one it was last year, which was like, you know, just, you know, try and
get up those stairs without crying.
Try and be healthy and happy and try to survive the stairs every day. That's my continual resolution. It doesn't matter what date it is.
Yeah.
My approach to life remains more or less the same.
Okay.
Yes. God, the wheels are very close to falling off this. I don't know why we have to persevere beyond 1 hour and five. 1 hour. I don't know. It's just force of habit dictates. But I also think we should probably end on a slightly less confusing and potentially disappointing note than this.
Go on, then.
Let's try and find. No, I can't skip forwards because that's going to ruin things. Okay. Okay, final question.
Go on.
We talked about me making a YouTube channel for hands, if you've got a fetish. Question. The word is fascinated.
By.
Yes, fascinated by. Are you fascinated by any weird videos on YouTube?
Or other social media?
Or other social media platforms are available, including those which are run and controlled by the Chinese government. Are you fascinated by any weird videos online? You know, you can talk about, like, those videos that you like to watch of people getting spots.
Did we already talk about that?
No, we haven't drained. We haven't talked about
extraction.
That.
Oh,
because that's a yeah.
That would go full circle back to the disgusting topic that we started
well,
with.
Well, there we go. Let's finish on that then.
Okay. So, all right. So, Amber, what kind of weird stuff do you watch on YouTube?
I love social media. I'm a big fan of TikTok. I can scroll on through and enjoy a lot of content.
Yes, different content.
I do find strangely relaxing, like a lot of people. Some extraction videos.
What are extraction videos?
Well, it's when things are being taken out
of
people. Faces, ears. But it can be, it started with pimples, simple like blackheads.
Like a spot on the face.
Yeah, but that was a gateway to cysts, which is a lot more satisfying.
A more serious spot on the face.
Precisely. And recently, earwax.
Earwax.
Oh, yeah. Earwax. I've seen some of those.
So removing earwax from people's ears.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you see the water one where they put like a water gun in the ear and there's like a little slide down the side where you just see all the crap that comes out of the ear.
I get the one where it's this guy, he's really nice, and you're like following, he's got this little tool and like a video camera on it.
Yeah.
So you like go deep into the ear.
Yeah.
And he's got two tools. One's like a little sort of scooper and the other one's like a tiny little suction. And he's like, oh, this is very deep. And he's like getting into it. And then at the end, very satisfyingly, he puts up all the wax on like a ruler and measures how much wax there was.
So obviously this is disgusting, but it's also strangely satisfying.
Yeah.
Very.
Watching this.
Soothing.
Yes. Soothing, yeah. My personal thing is watching carpets being cleaned.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those as well.
So
they make them dirty to clean them.
Do
so
they?
I find it disingenuous.
So the way that they're presented...
How do you know that? Did you meet one of them?
Someone said. They said, I dirty them
and
up.
And you believed them? Oh, someone said that on the video that they dirtied them up.
Yeah.
Oh.
So the way that the videos work is that there's a couple of channels like this where they say, so this is the carpet we're going to clean. We found it like discarded in a back garden and it's covered in mud and dog pee and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's the most disgusting carpet ever. Watch us clean it. And then they lay it down. They've got a special room designed for it. They have hoses of water. They've got special carpet shampoos. They've got big sort of electronic carpet cleaning brushing devices. And they go through and they spray water on it. They push all the water off. They put shampoo. They scrub it with the machine. And all this satisfying gunk comes out of the carpet.
Yeah.
And then they push all the water off again and again and again. And after 20 minutes, it's a perfectly clean carpet. And it's satisfying watching the dirt go from dark to less dark to clean water.
Well, you might like, in that case, another channel that I quite like.
Is it the pool cleaning one?
No, it's the tombstone cleaning.
Oh, yeah.
They're good.
Tombstone cleaning.
Yeah, so there's a few different people that do it.
What's a tombstone?
When someone is buried,
the stone
it marks their grave.
Where it's like written, the name is written on there and stuff. Yeah, that's
exactly. And so someone goes and then, because it's quite delicate, you know, because some of them are really old, like 100, 200 years old. Mm. And there's all different brushes and sort of things that they can do to like clean it up. And it feels sort of like thoughtful.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, kind. It does.
Yeah, that is nice. That's quite, what's the word?
Is it the guy who then goes back to try and find the people?
Those people are dead.
No, I know, but there was one. I don't know how it came up in my TikTok for you thing, and it was a guy who was like, I almost didn't post this video. This is like the beginning of the video because it was a like uncovering it. It was like a tomb of like a 2-month-old baby, and then
sad.
Yeah,
sad.
And then so like he then goes through like the family history to try and contact people, descendants of those people. It's really interesting. That's a good one. There's another guy who does pool cleaning, so he goes to people's pools that are all.
Yeah.
Green and disgusting.
Yeah.
Same thing as the carpet thing. My thing, I like chiropractors as well.
What are chiropractors?
People that sort out your bones and your back.
They crack your back.
Yeah.
And crack your spine.
Yeah, there's like a guy who, again, like speaks like really, he's got like a really deep, soothing voice. And he's obviously like set up microphones nearby, you know, where the thing, and he does this weird stuff where he like stands literally like on a chair, like above the person.
More visual.
And like has like an arm round, and it's like, you think it looks like it's going to be really rough. And then he just like pulls the person apart and it just goes like,
if that person was amazing. Arnold Schwarzenegger, you'd be concerned, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If you're like, I'm going to go to a chiropractor and it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's like, I'm just going to put my arm around you. Crack. Oh no, I killed him.
God. That's the noise that your back makes when it cracks.
And there's also, this is the final thing, there's also the cleaning the horseshoes.
Cleaning
horses' hooves.
Or cows.
Cows' hooves.
Oh, yeah, hoof cleaning.
Hoof cleaning.
Where they're like scraping it and like almost grating off the layers.
They scrape
it's like
all
a cheese.
The dirt out. They cut the hooves and make it all clean. And then they put a horseshoe, a metal horseshoe on there. Oh, wonderful.
Yeah,
stuff.
You realise they've got nails just like us that grow, and then you have to cut the nails.
Yeah, and you think, oh my God, they're hammering long nails in.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's okay, it's just like a big, thick, the hoof is just a big, thick nail, isn't
hoof
it?
Hoof or hoof?
Hoof, I would say.
Hoof.
Okay. Yeah, hoof, I would say. But I know that some. No, I say hoof as well. Yeah. But I've heard some people call it like a hoof, horse's hoof.
Hoof.
Yeah.
Is that, I think that's American English, do you think?
No, I've heard English people say hoof.
Yeah, okay.
Hoofter.
All right.
Okay.
Did you just stop recording? Oh, no. I thought you just stopped. I thought that was the end.
That's it. Goodbye.
That's it. no goodbye.
I said it was the last question, and I'll have no more from you.
Okay. Oh, yeah. According to Colin, hoof. That's the Colin's dictionary.
Okay.
It doesn't even mention hoof. Maybe it's just like a non-standard pronunciation or something like that.
Like bin and bean. Have you been to the shops? Have you been to the shops?
No.
Hoof and hoof?
No, that's different because bean is a auxiliary verb. It gets, it turns into a weak form when it's said in a sentence. Have you been to the shop? So hoof and hoof. It's,
all right.
Hoof is not just like a reduced form of hoof.
Have you seen that film?
Yeah, I would say that's not a reduced form for fluency. That's more of an accent thing. So
right. But like, hoof and hoof. I think hoof and hoof and seen and sin are the same thing.
Yes. Like when I lived in London, everyone said, have you seen it? And then when I moved up to the Midlands, kids were saying, oh, I seen it at the cinema. I'm like, what? What? And then that's just an accent thing.
Sin City at the cinema.
Sin City at the cinema. Yeah. Oh, dear. So there we go. All right. How has this been for you two? Can you give a quick sort of review of this episode at the end here?
I mean, enlightening.
Enlightening. Yeah, we learned. Did you learn something?
I learned. I've experienced all sorts of wonderful things.
We've covered a variety of...
invaluable.
Very important topics that you're not going to hear anywhere else except for on Luke's English podcast. Mm. Thank you, guys. Anything to add at the end?
I was going to say it was in Lutening because we spoke about the loo.
The loo in Lutening conversation. Whoa, it's not just me. He does it too. Okay, listeners, thank you so much for paying attention all the way through to this very important lecture. This three-person workshop that we've been doing here about the English language.
Toilets, Titanic and TikTok.
Wow.
There's the title.
Pretty good. I was going to call it Going to the Toilet with Amber and Paul.
Oh. Toilets, Titanic and TikTok.
Toilets, Titanic and TikTok. Okay.
Going to the toilet.
What's wrong
going
with that?
To the toilet with Amber and Nick. Are you going to have like, you're going to superpose, like Photoshop our faces on like
a toilet with the Titanic sinking into it, maybe. I don't know. And all of us standing around, you doing this, loosening your, undoing your zip.
Yeah, you can take a screenshot of me.
I don't know.
All right. Well, thanks for having us on the podcast.
It's always a pleasure. Seriously, thank you for coming and coming up all those stairs.
And now raining.
I know. That's not my fault.
Well, I'm going to blame you.
Okay. That's all right. thank you both again for your very important, very worthwhile contributions. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. Don't forget to like and subscribe if you are on YouTube. Otherwise, just have a lovely, lovely morning, afternoon, evening, or night. And I/we will speak to you again at some point soon. But for now, it's just time to say good bye.
Bye,
bye, bye, bye, bye,
bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye.
Okay, so this is the end of the audio episode. This is where I just talk to the audio people. Hello. Video viewers are not getting this bit. This is just for the audio people. Because, you know, as I've said, this is an audio show. So anyway, hello, audio lepsters in audio land. How are you doing? How was that for you? Did you manage to keep up with that? Did you learn anything new? Both in terms of English and in terms of just general knowledge about things like toilet habits and other things. Do you have anything to add to this conversation? Congratulations, by the way, for making it this far. Okay, you just entered about 1 hour of English into your head. You just put about an hour of English in there. Think of the people who didn't do that. Think of the people who stopped after, well, 10, 5, 1, maybe even 1 minute. Think of the people who didn't listen to all of that. They now have 1 hour less of English exposure compared to you. So, you know, poor them, basically. As I said at the start, this conversation was fast, as usual, with the tangential trio. And there were probably things that you missed. Right? I mean, you know, there's bound to be things that you missed. I don't know. It depends on your level of English. You can let me know. You know, I've talked before about how you've got to have a sort of subjective sense of your English progress and also the importance of persevering, right? Hopefully you've done both of those things. You've both persevered and also sort of considered to what extent you understood this. And I think English, speaking broadly, it's not a zero-sum game, which means that it's not just a question of understanding 100% or nothing, you know. Some people might feel like that. You might feel like, I need to understand all of this, and if I don't understand 100%, then it's a total failure. That's not what I recommend. You've just got to get a sense of like, okay, so I think I maybe understood half of that, because I was lost quite a lot of the time. Now, that might depend when you're listening. You know, if you're listening on the bus or something, or if there's a lot of other noise, or if you're in the supermarket, you're doing your shopping, you're trying to think about other things like, oh, do we need courgettes? How many courgettes do I need to buy? What do we have in that? Do we have milk? You know, if you're doing that while you're listening, obviously you're probably going to get lost a bit more. Whereas if you're lying in a flotation tank with zero sensory input except for Luke's English podcast, you're probably more likely to understand, you know, and be able to follow things. And there's many different factors. But the point is that you might think, all right, I got, you know, 60%, 70% of that, I feel, although how do you know really? But anyway, you get a sense of that and you kind of feel like that the rest of that percent, that's just stuff to work on. But feel good about the stuff that you understood, and the rest of it is stuff to work on. But anything you understood, any part of that that you got and understood, that's a victory. And the rest of it is just stuff to be worked on, right? Don't just feel like it's either 100% understand or failure. You know, don't think of it like that. I think that you probably know that. I mean, you're still listening to this anyway, right? So let me just kind of talk about the beginning of the conversation, because maybe for some people, not you, I guess, because you're still here, unless you're a skeleton. Some people just probably got confused right at the beginning. So at the very start of this, so I'm just going to try and summarize what happened at the beginning of the conversation. I would explain the entire conversation, but life is a bit too short, unfortunately, for that. But so at the start, right, I started the recording before we were actually ready to begin. I was halfway through making some tea. Amber and Paul had their tea. I hadn't finished doing mine. But I pressed record anyway because I had too many things to think about. And I thought, right, I just need to press record and then I don't need to worry about that. And we can just finish making the tea and then just sort of like follow this conversation and do our best to try and help the listeners understand us while also just having fun and having a natural conversation. So I started the recording before we were properly ready to begin. Also because we didn't have a lot of time. Amber had to leave at 3:30. So I just hit record. And Paul at the start asked which audience is bigger, the video viewers or the audio listeners? So am I getting more people watching or more people listening? Which is, he's asked me that before. Like, people do ask me that because I'm on sort of both platforms. And I said the audio listeners outnumbered the video viewers. And so Paul said that he wouldn't do too many visual things like visual jokes. And then he pretended to take his trousers off. Now, I guess this was in order to make a visual joke. So, you know, we better not do any visual jokes. And then, of course, he did one. And it was, he decided to pretend to take his trousers off. I say pretend. He actually unzipped his jeans, but he didn't go all the way and unbuckle his belt or anything like that. So that was just a stupid little visual joke, which obviously I then had to explain for the audio people. But this act of taking the undoing the trousers, this led to Paul commenting that men only unbuckle their belt or fully undo their trousers twice a day. That's when you put your trousers on and take them off. And the rest of unless you have to sit down to do a poo, to do a number two, right? although I have to say, sometimes I will unbuckle my belt and undo the button on my trousers after I've eaten. If I'm feeling rather full and I'm sitting down, sometimes I'll unbuckle the trousers just to kind of give myself a bit more leeway in the trouser department. Right? So there are other cases in which a man will undo his trousers. But anyway, that became the starting point, and we were off, and the topic turned to the topic of men undoing their trousers in the toilet and maybe some unconventional cases of that, including an example of Paul. He said that he used to work with a guy, or he saw a guy who, instead of just opening the zip on his trousers and doing it that way, he would unbuckle the trousers, undo the button at the top and unzip them, open the trousers out, then pull his underpants down and pull out his, well, how shall I say it, his todger, which was the word that Paul used. He'd pull out his todger and then put his hands behind his back, and this is not Paul, by the way, this is someone that Paul saw, put his hands behind his back and pee into the urinal like that, right? Which is just extraordinary. Unbelievable, really. And so that was the beginning of the whole toilet thing. We talked about, you know, the way that men undo their trousers and the way that men might urinate in the toilet. And then we asked Amber what it's like for women to use the toilet when they are wearing certain clothes, like, for example, a one-piece outfit, you know, an outfit that's one single piece, like a jumpsuit. You know, how do women deal with that? Isn't that complicated? And that's how it all started, you see. So I guess if you're still listening to this, you got that, right? But I just wonder how many people gave up after the first 5 or 10 minutes, either A, because they didn't understand what was going on, or B, because they were like, no thanks. Or maybe you started listening and you're like, oh, okay, fine, introduction, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Come on, Luke, get on with it. And then when Paul started talking about undoing his trousers and Amber started talking about taking her clothes off, that was it. Like, this is amazing. This is fascinating. I don't know. You can let me know. oh, dear. Right. Anyway, I think that's enough waffle, isn't it, at the end of this? Yeah, I'm going to stop in a second. Like I said before, though, leave your comments, okay? Leave your comments. If you have a comment section where you're listening, leave your comments. You can always use my website for comments if you're in audio land. And the link for the relevant page on my website for this episode, that link is in the show notes. I talked about that recently. Where are the show notes? You know, so check your podcast app of choice. The notes will be there, including a link to the website page for this episode where you will be able to leave a comment at the bottom. And actually, could you do me a favor? Do you reckon you could do me a quick favor right? If you enjoy my episodes, could you give me a rating and a quick review? For example, on the Apple Podcasts page or Google Podcasts page, wherever you listen to this podcast, if you're able to leave a quick review and a rating for the show, that would really help the podcast. And if you don't want to help the podcast, then just never mind. Okay, just fine. Never mind. But if you'd like to help, even in a small way, you can spread the word about the podcast, recommend it to someone, and leave a review, leave a rating, and all that good stuff. It does help to generally promote the show. Word of mouth and encouraging the podcast to appear in podcast apps and stuff, all of that stuff really helps to promote the show. Of course, you can also go further and you can send a donation to help support the show, and you will find a PayPal donate button on my website. PayPal is the only way, kind of the only way at the moment. You can send me just a good old-fashioned bank transfer if you like, and just if you go to my website and go to in the section of the menu that says Luke, and it says support Luke with a donation, you can actually send me a bank transfer, and the details are there if that's what you want to do. And some people do that. Sometimes I'll just check my bank balance and I'll see donations from people, which is just amazing. That is incredible. So anyway, where was I? So yeah, you could send a donation, and you know, basically, if you have sent me a donation, thank you very, very much. You make this podcast possible and you allow this show to exist. Okay, seriously. You know, so if it wasn't for the donations and for the premium subscribers mainly, then you wouldn't be able to listen to three people talking about going to the toilet. Okay, that wouldn't have happened. So thank you to you. And yes, the premium subscribers. Thank you also, because you are proper stakeholders in this show. Your contribution is invaluable. And I hope that you like the content that you get in return. By the way, more premium content is coming soon, I promise. Maybe by the time I've uploaded this episode, there will be new content available. If you're ever wondering about, like, if you ever think to yourself, Luke, I'd love to get a list of all the premium episodes that you've ever done, so that I can know their names, you know, I can know the titles of the episodes, so I can know the numbers of those episodes, and they all have P at the beginning, P1, P2, P, more P, which is quite appropriate for this conversation about toilets. But all the premium episodes have P in the title. And you might be thinking, I'd like to find those premium episodes. I'm a premium subscriber, Luke, and I want to find all those episodes, but I don't know what the numbers and names are. You can always go to my website. In the premium section of the menu, it says archive and comment section, the names of all the premium episodes. So that's where you would go to find the list of all the available premium episode names. And once you know their names, you can then find them in your premium list, right? Yes. What else? But yes, more premium content is coming, or may already be available, because I'm recording this like a few weeks before I'm going to publish it. As I always say, it does take some time for me to produce the premium content, because it requires a lot more preparation due to the more rigorous approach that I take to those episodes, with the PDFs and all the rest of it. So I am working on more story episodes for the premium content. I've been writing and rewriting some stories. I mean, I've published two story time episodes on Luke's English Podcast Premium, but I've got like loads more in the pipeline. I've been talking about this for flipping ages, but I promise you, there's more of that stuff coming. It just takes a while. And anyway, so I'm working on more story episodes, and I've been writing and rewriting some stories about my life, mostly, including things like childhood tales and other anecdotes. So that's coming soon. Thank you if you're a premium subscriber. Again, you're keeping the show alive. If you have questions about Luke's English Podcast Premium, including the classic questions, which are, Luke, how do I get the premium PDFs? And Luke, how do I find all of the premium episodes and more? If you've got those questions, check my website, okay? All of those questions are answered on my website, teacherluke.co.uk/premium info. Premium info. All the frequently asked questions are there with answers. Thank you for your support, everyone. Okay, thank you very much. Let's keep this whole thing going, shall we? Okay, so take care out there in Lepland. Keep your chin up. Keep a smile on your face if you can. Be good to yourself. Be excellent to each other. Have another lovely morning, afternoon, evening, or night. And I will speak to you in the next installment coming soon. But for now, it's just time to say goodbye. Bye, 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 bye. This is the second time I've done this in this episode. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.